Did you know that women were excluded from clinical research policy by federal law until 1993? Women belong in scientific research. They are essential. But not only that, how can we trust any of the data when it comes to our bodies if nothing used to exist? Ritual took this gap and conducted a university-led human clinical trial for their Essential for Women 18 Plus multivitamin to assess its efficacy. The results? It increased vitamin D levels by 43% and omega-3 DHA levels by 41% in just 12 weeks. That's some data we can trust. Ritual is a clinically backed multivitamin for women 18 plus with high quality and traceable key ingredients in clean, bioavailable forms. It is USP verified, meaning you can trust what you're putting in your body and know that it actually works. And only about 1% of supplement brands on the market have the USP verified mark. Not only does Ritual take your health seriously, they are also invested in the health of the planet. Ritual is a female-founded B Corp. They use scientific tools to select lower carbon packaging, prioritize sustainably sourced ingredients, and set ambitious climate goals. I have been through the ringer when it comes to vitamins, and that's why I love Ritual, because I can actually trust that it does what it's supposed to do, and it comes from a company that actually cares. No more shady business. Ritual's Essential for Women 18 Plus is a multivitamin you can actually trust. Get 25% off your first month at ritual.com/yogagirl. Start Ritual or add Essential for Women 18 Plus to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/yogagirl for 25% off. Welcome, 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 my loves. It's time for another episode of the Yoga Girl podcast, Conversations from the Heart. I am sitting here right now in the middle of what feels like the eye of the hurricane, you know, like the middle of the center of the vortex, the quiet place in the midst of just a wild, wild time. And I can laugh about it now because it is hilarious that I am where I am in this moment, and I'm gonna tell you all about it. So where to begin? Okay, I think I should begin with this big thing. So the home course started, which I close my eyes and I get goosebumps head to toe. I close my eyes and I have this, honestly, I was nervous about, of course, I mean, I've been planning and creating this course for over a year, and I was nervous about what is it going to feel like to be in a virtual live circle. And I was worried, like, what if it isn't intimate enough? Or what if people don't open up and share from a genuine place? What if people kind of are closed off or behind their computers and not connecting with each other? And, you know, I was nervous about that. And of course, you know, humans being humans and this work being this work, we had our opening circle on Sunday, so a couple of days ago, and it was everything I wanted it to be. I mean, truly, it was everything I wanted it to be once the circle was open. Pre-live was chaos. Okay. And I'm going to tell you all about that because that's how Dennis and I roll whenever we enter something super important. But it was everything I wanted it to be, you know, and part of that, and I know that this is the case as well. So whenever I have a big thing, right, and a big thing could be a live event, it could be a book tour, it could be a teacher training, it could be a home course, like a big thing, right? And there's always a component to that that involves Dennis. Like, of course, like Dennis and I work together. He has a big role in the company. He produces, you know, all the video, he does all the videography and the filming of everything we do. He sets up all the live sessions. And when we're in person, you know, he has this big component of being my husband and Leia's dad and managing logistics and all of this stuff. And there's always, doesn't matter what we're doing, seriously, doesn't matter. And I can look back at like 2010 when we met and now, always. And I'll say, hey, you know, Sunday's a big day. We have to have all of these things in order. Like, here's the play-by-play. Here's the plan, right? And it never goes down the way I want it to go down. Like, it's always, always, we're late. Okay, mainly he's late. he's Aruban, Caribbean man. Like, I know who I married. I love him for who he is. And I don't know why still to this day I expect him to be on time. Like, I don't know. It's my fault. Okay. At this point, it's like, I'm just, it's on me at this point. But he has a schedule. He has the plan. He knows everything about all the time. And of course, like, we're late. And like the last hour leading up to the live starting was just, it was like, now I'm in the eye of the quiet storm of the vortex. But like right before the live was like, we were floating around crazy hurricane style, just setting up the live. Everything was late. Suddenly the internet dropped out, which was like, it's one of those things that just, it can't happen, you know, for a moment like this. It cannot happen. And then everything was set up and beautiful. And then we realized something was wrong with some connection of some port. Like, I don't know what's going on. And then one of the lights, just everything was working and then suddenly didn't work. And then the whole entire time, Leia is outside sitting on the ATV honking. So it wasn't like, and my plan for the day was the live starts at 5. So at 3 o'clock, I want everything set up and tested and ready. 100%. So I have the last 2 hours before the live to just be on my yoga mat and drink my tea and ground into my body and prepare, right? And 4:30, we're still doing like setup and craziness and yeah, Leia honking outside the whole entire, like we have a little ATV. It came with the house, super funnily enough. We have a little ATV that to move around. I mean, we don't use it for anything else other than going from our house down to the sauna house. And I mean, it's just Dennis loves to drive it. And she's just on the ATV and she was wearing, oh my God, this was, I should have taken a video. I didn't because I was really overwhelmed. But she was wearing this big, extravagant, like 1700 style princess royal dress that I got her at a costume store. I don't know. I just walked by it like the other week and I'm like, she's going to love this. And it's one of those really poofy dresses with wires on the inside that keeps it poofy. And it has this like braiding in the front and flowers on it. And it's just one of those things. Like, she loves to play dress up with long sleeves, like long kind of royal, almost like medieval style sleeves. It's really pretty. But she's wearing that and no hat and no jacket. And spring might have sprung, okay, 5 minutes ago here, but it's not like no jacket weather for a five-year-old. And she's just out there on the ATV honking and like it was just pure chaos. And then finally, like we get everything done and it was 1:45, right, that we get everything done. I go online and I'm like, okay, it's, and I actually realize, you know what, the fact that it's this intense, and it always is, whatever big commitment I have, whatever thing, it never is that quiet, peaceful thing. And part of that is I create it in a sense. You know, if I truly wanted to be on time, I would ask someone else to help me with this setup. But I don't. Like, I want it to be Dennis. I know it's going to be hectic. But part of it is getting into the energy and the intensity of the moment. And it's kind of how I don't know. It's kind of how I come alive in a sense. You know, I have this version of my work. I mean, and I think I talked about this. I did a big episode a while ago about creativity. And, you know, like if you've read Big Magic by Liz Gilbert, like I did a podcast around just my own creative process and how it never happens peacefully for me. Never, whatever it is I'm doing, writing, finishing a book or filming something or this podcast, like just now, literally, I walked through the door, didn't have lunch, like shoved a sandwich, not a sandwich because I'm not eating grains, but like a sad paleo version of a sandwich down my throat. And I sit down and I turn on the recorder and I talk to you. And the moment I'm done with this podcast, I have another thing I got to get to. You know, it's like nothing I do comes with this slow, soft preparation of getting my creative self ready. And I think I just need to accept that my creativity happens in bursts and it happens right at the deadline and it happens right when I need it. You know, it isn't this soft, sweet, slow, quiet process that unfolds over time. It's like this needs to happen now and then I ace it. Like that's just what it is. But still, I was really frustrated because I'm always frustrated. And Leia honking and all that. So 1:45, I log online. And I get to take a deep breath and I get to ground with a team. And I was like, you know what? This is all fine. It's all how it was supposed to be. And then I had to go pee and there's no bathroom in the sauna house. So I had to go do a little wilder wee. Katrina, or my friend Katrina, she calls it. Oh, she gave me that term the other day. When you have to pee and you're outdoors, or you get to pee in the wild, it's called a wilder wee. She's from the UK. So I went outside and she was like, oh my God, you get to do a wilder wee? And I'm like, yes, I'm so excited. Right before the home course live, I get to do a wilder wee. So I go outside and I pee overlooking the lake, like next to a tree in the wild. And I'm like, oh, everything is so perfect. And to do my little wilder wee, I don't know why, but I muted myself and I turned my camera off on Zoom. It wasn't like I was going to pee in front of them or anything. I don't know. Why did I do that? And then anyway, I do my wilder wee. I come back inside and the camera won't turn back on. And it's now 5 minutes to five. Like it's 5 minutes to the live. And I can't get the camera to turn back on. It doesn't go back. I'm calling Dennis. He doesn't pick up because he thinks everything is just chill and fine. And he's probably making dinner with Leia. And I'm like having one of these like, no. Finally, the man answers and I'm like, you run down here, like run. It's 1 minute to five and I don't have camera. Like, come on. So he came down, he fixed it. And then I was 4 minutes late and I'm never late. Like, I can't stand being late. I was 4 minutes late for a first live. And it was just all of a sudden, everybody's there. And, you know, it was kind of like peak intensity of everything accumulating, coming down to this moment. And then all of a sudden, here we all are, right? And because I was so intensely present and acutely, like, you know, on edge, like just like landed in there, you know, versus having 2 hours to meditate and then, you know, breathing into the like arriving in the space, I was really vulnerable. Right. Because that's what happens to me when I feel that intensity, I get really vulnerable. So I cried right in the beginning. And of course, what happens when we cry is we drop into our truest, most authentic, realist self. And I got to lead the first live and meet everybody and follow everything I wanted to share and kind of go through the flow of just doing a bit of storytelling that I wasn't planning on, that just kind of came through really organically. And in the end, hearing everybody's voices, or not everybody, but a few people sharing in the end. And then so much synchronicity and so much love and so much excitement. And then I got to cry again. And it was just at the end of it, it was everything I wanted, right? Totally everything I wanted. And now the course has begun. And the thing about this vortex that I'm in, and I was sharing that in our live as well, is that March 20th, you know, spring equinox, I've had this date in the back of my head for over a year. Every day at some point, I've thought about March 20th, 2022, because it's the first day of the home course, right? And I had this idea in my head that actually all of 2022 for me is going to be so peaceful. All of 2022. Never mind that December 16th, 2021, we moved to Sweden and landed in like an empty house where we didn't have anything, you know. But I had this idea that all of 2022 leading up to the course was going to be just peaceful and calm. And of course, it hasn't been. You know, of course, it's been a really intense couple of months since arriving here. It's been beautiful, but it's been really busy, right? Of course, it's been really busy getting the house ready, getting our lives in order, getting Leia situated, getting Dennis situated, lots of work. And then of course, completing and finishing everything for the course, which has been this kind of Mount Everest that we've been doing, the entire Yoga Girl team. It's been intense. Then I had this idea that, okay, it's not going to be like all of 2022 is going to be just chill and peaceful, but March, I'm going to be just off. And I had this version of this idea of myself as basically I'm going to be this kind of homestead wife, and I'm going to wear an apron every day, and I'm going to be baking sourdough bread. Never mind that I don't eat grains, but I'm just going to be baking a lot, and I'm going to be preserving food, and I'm buying one of those like pressure canners so that I can pressure can my own foods, and I'm just going to be gardening and preparing the garden and taking care of the land. And like, I saw myself as like, I'm not going to be even online, you know, in March. I'm just going to be here. One with the earth, right? Oh my God. I mean, I'm laughing so hard just sharing this now because it's so funny. It's so funny that I, first of all, like I created this course, not because I am that person, right? But because I'm on that journey, which is two entirely different things. Not because I am that person having arrived to like everything is peaceful for the rest of my life and I'm one with nature for the rest of my life. No, because I am a flawed human being with a complicated past and a complicated inner narrative, just looking to find her way home, right? And I have these practices and these rituals and this journey that I'm on really intensely that I feel really is working for me. And the home course is me creating community around that and sharing that along with the yoga and the meditation and the guidance that I normally give, right? But it's not this idea that I'm done and I'm this super teacher guru and I'm going to teach everybody else how to live. It's no, you know, I'm on this journey too. And the reason I'm even on this journey is because I have this inner being. It's kind of part of my core personality that I do everything really intensely and I work kind of all the time and I have a really hard time, you know, stopping everything. And it's almost like, and I was sharing this on the live too, it's like I have to stay intensely present with myself all the time and with the decisions that I make on a daily basis all the time. Because if I don't, if I let go too much, you know, and I kind of lose awareness, all of a sudden my life just veers back into the same space it was before. Meaning all of a sudden I get really overwhelmed. All of a sudden I have taken on too much. All of a sudden I have all of these deadlines and these high pressure things. And all of a sudden there's stress in my life again, right? So I'm still in that space where my default isn't peace and living a life that's one with nature. My default is this big conditioning that I grew up with and this personality that I created to protect myself from hurt and fear and pain. And it's really ingrained in this idea that I am the most worthy when I produce the most. I am most worthy of love when I work the hardest. Working hard is who I am. Things are kind of hard for me and I have to work hard all the time. And life moves really fast and it's hard to keep up. And I have to keep going, going, going. Like that's my inner kind of default, right? Or at least I've had 30 something years of living that way, right? And then now I've had, since my burnout in 2019, it's like I've had 3 years, 4 years, barely, of carving out and creating a new life. Like it's pretty much 3 years or so that I'm shifting. But it takes more than 3 years of casually, gradually shifting to undo or to completely shift 30 years and a whole entire childhood, right? So I was sharing this in the live that for me, it's just I need to stay so present with myself and stay so anchored in these practices that I'm sharing now for the course. Because if I miss it, and if I don't, and I have a really kind of unconscious cycle or week, or I kind of lose that sense of grounding, then all of a sudden, I start saying yes to things, I start seeking out things, I start adding things to the calendar, I start accumulating, and all of a sudden, I look at my life and it's like, wait. Where is the homesteader? Where's that fucking sourdough loaf? Why am I staring down the barrel of 2,000 emails in my inbox? Why do I have nonstop meetings every single day? Why do I have this mountain of work I have to finish? Why do I have all of these commitments that I now can't say no to that I commit? You know, like that happens. And I know a lot of you guys resonate with that because you write me about it all the time, that this practice of slowing down. And, you know, the pandemic did a lot for us in that sense, or for many of us at least, giving us space and recognizing what we really want, figuring out our priorities. Like it did so much for us in that sense, I think. But it's really hard to completely shift that inner course. It is. And it is a practice. And I'm still practicing, right? And sometimes I fail. Like right now, like all of March. Sometimes I fail. Like March was not that peaceful, quiet time. March was what March had to be, right? And March also, I mean, the war in Ukraine, which was this added or is this added major emotional stress,
What is your favorite food? I think I can honestly say mine is bread. Now I'm craving my warm sourdough bread with some butter and salt on top. It's honestly the perfect thing to eat. But I'm also realistic, and I know for many of you out there, the carb feel might be real. It is too bad that carb-heavy foods are often the ones we love the most. That's why Hero Bread makes those same delicious favorites free of consequences or compromises. They have remade carby empty calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious versions that include no net carbs, 0 grams of sugar, plus protein and fiber. And let me tell you, their products taste amazing. The other day, Dennis and Leah and I were making some grilled cheese sandwiches, and that would be a perfect place to swap in Hero Bread. I am very mindful when it comes to what my daughter eats, and I love that this bread helps you get enough fiber and adds more protein to your diet while cutting down on the sugar. Hero Bread is not only delicious and flavorful, there's something for every craving, including sliced bread loaves, buns, and tortillas. So don't give up on being a breadhead. Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use the code YOGAGIRL at checkout. That's YOGAGIRL at hero.co.
And also, I'm going to share this big thing that I'm embarking on now that you're going to laugh at me for, and I'm already laughing at myself for, but we'll all laugh together. But when I had my biggest moments of feeling overwhelmed in March, which I had a lot of them, I was sitting down with a friend and I'm like, okay, I have 4 buckets that I have to figure out. Okay, I have 4 buckets of things, of projects that feel really important. They are all really big. I mean, they are kind of equally big, even though they don't sound equally big, but they all come with its own sets of like massive amounts of things I have to get done and figure out. And they all come with a time limit. And she was like, okay, hit me. Like, let's write it out, plan it out, you know, so that you have like a grip of what needs to be done. And then we ask for help. And she was really helping me. I'm okay, first bucket, the home course, you know, and then I wrote down the home course and then what has to get done. And part of that was like, we didn't have a space to do the live. So it was supposed to be in the sauna house, but it wasn't ready. It was just a mess. That was a whole project. I still had content I needed to create. So we had to perfect things on the site and get everything together. And there was a lot of pieces still moving for the home course. That was one thing. The other thing was Leia's birthday, which maybe to everyone doesn't sound like this big life project, but for me, it really... Just the fact that, you know, I didn't have my eye on the ball with her birthday. That's what it felt like. And then all of a sudden I realized, man, it's March and her birthday is March 13th. We didn't have anything planned. And, you know, I would forsake and forego everything else in my life to make sure that she has the kind of birthday she deserves and that she has a good day, right? So with that, it was like, hey, I needed to rent the space and make the invites and send the invites out and then buy all the things we needed and, you know, like order cakes and like all the stuff that comes along with planning. And I planned two. We had one kids party just for her friends and then we had one for the family because we didn't want to mix it all. It would be too overwhelming. So we kind of had 2 parties, but that was like a thing. And then I wrote all the things down and what needs to be ordered and what needs to be booked and what needs to be sent out and like all that stuff. And then the third bucket that was making me feel overwhelmed was, and I just titled it that, the apocalypse. And I'm laughing, but I'm not laughing. Okay. This was, mind you, like first week of the war. And I still have this feeling in my body, in my life, this sense of wanting to prepare more for uncertainty, basically. Not that I think that, you know, someone's going to drop a bomb right on top of this little place in the woods where we live. No, I'm not there, you know. But this feeling of uncertainty and this feeling of fear that puts into motion inside of me this need to prepare. Just this feeling of like, I want to make sure we have a generator here. Okay. You might think that that's crazy. I really do. I want to have a generator for if ever we lose electricity and power, I want to know that there's a backup. And that's not a stupid thing to have anyway, right? We had one in Aruba. Like, why not have one here? That would bring me some peace of mind, right? That pressure canner I've always wanted so I can can my own foods. Like, I want to get that. We didn't have a first aid kit. Like, just like small things, you know. Most of my friends here have or are, you know, preparing in different ways. And I have some friends who are going really all in and, you know, full prepper style. And I have some friends who haven't at all, but they're just wanting to know where like the closest, like, which is like this bunker space. They're everywhere in Stockholm. where it is, right? And for me, I just had this overwhelming feeling of unsafety and wanting to prepare a little bit more. And now I feel more grounded around that. I mean, the war, it's been going on now for, what, 26 days? And I have more of my presence in how to help over there versus how to keep myself safe. And I just think it's one of those things that comes with time. Anyway, whenever I talk about that, my fear of the apocalypse, I always feel like I have to excuse myself or I have to minimize it a little bit because I sound crazy. But I also don't want to do that anymore because I honestly think wanting to live a more self-sustaining life where we are more caring for ourselves, not because the world might end at any moment, but because the world is a really unstable place. Like, to me, it's just making sense. And that doesn't mean that I'm going to like dig out my own nuclear bunker and sit there with a rifle, right? It means like I want to grow enough foods that I don't have to rely on going to the supermarket all the time. Like, that kind of level of is what I want. So anyway, that was one bucket that I was feeling really overwhelmed about. And we were drinking gin and tonics late at night. I think Dennis was still in Aruba and kind of semi-drunkenly ordered some things. And it was really fun over the next couple of days. Like, ooh, like a hardcore first aid kit arrived. I got a Swiss Army knife, which I think is something everybody should have. I ordered a freezer. So happy about this freezer. I ordered a freezer, which is also like long term when we start harvesting all of our foods and fruits and veggies. And when it's berry season and mushroom season, like I just wanted a freezer for the garage where we can have bulk items. But anyway, that was one of the buckets of overwhelm. So I had the home course, Leah's birthday, the apocalypse. And then the fourth area of overwhelm, which is kind of why I'm in the vortex now, is... And I've been keeping this from you for a little while and I can't even share too many details about it. So you're going to be super frustrated with me right now. But literally, I am by contract, I can't state any details. But I am going to Los Angeles this week. Actually, when you're listening to this podcast, if you're listening on Friday, I'm already in LA. Want to know one of my favorite sounds? Here it is. That's the sound I hear when I'm learning a new language with Babbel. And if you want to learn a new language, I guarantee it'll be one of your new favorite sounds too. Be a better you with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Their tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching, so you're ready to practice what you have learned in the real world. I absolutely love using Babbel. Their convenient courses have helped both me and my husband learn real live conversation skills in a different language. He's learning Swedish, of course, and I've been trying my hand at French again. It is so easy to learn how to order food, how to ask for directions, speak to merchants, and all without having to consult language apps while on vacation, or in my husband's case, living here in Sweden with me. Studies from Yale, Michigan State University, and others continue to prove Babbel is better. One study found that using Babbel for 15 hours is equivalent to a full semester at college. Babbel has over 16 million subscriptions sold. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 award-winning language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee. Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get up to 60% off of your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/yoga. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/yoga, spelled babbel.com/yoga. Rules and restrictions may apply. Why am I going to LA? What even? So, long story long. It started like this, okay? And it's really fun to me that this is happening and unfolding week one of the home course, which is called Dream. It's all about envisioning our lives and dreaming up what we want for the future and really cultivating and creating what we want to manifest, right? And for me, in the middle of Dream Week, I get to have this big dream, not fully manifested, but it's like I'm kicking off a new part of my life in the direction of a dream I didn't really even know I had. So when I came to Sweden, yeah, right when we came here, right when we landed, I had a moment where I sat down and I really thought about, like, what do I want to do with my life here? And it is this big opportunity for me to pivot a bit, you know, around my career, around my life, around everything. I mean, it is just such a big life shift. And I know already I don't want to open up another yoga studio. It's not something I want to do here. It's so much work. What did you bring for me? Come. Oh my goodness. Did you pick me lavender? Yeah. Thank you, darling. It's for my tea ceremony. Thank you so much. Oh, it smells amazing. Thank you. Leia just walked in with some lavender she gave me for my tea ceremony, and now I'm crying. Okay. I hope you heard that. I don't know if you heard that, but that was so beautiful. Oh my God. And it's wrapped in tape. She's picked individual little twigs of lavender, and then she's taped them all together. I love her so much. Oh my God. Okay. So anyway, I sat down in Sweden to decide, what do I want to do with my life? If I want to start something new or shift or create something different, like, now is the time to really think about that. And then I thought about, you know, being in Sweden. Sweden is a way smaller country than the rest of the world, or like the whole world I normally talk to. I mean, it's bigger than Aruba, obviously, but normally I speak very much with the American, not just American, but the North American kind of United States audience, and Canada and a bit in Europe, but I don't have this huge kind of a big part of my following in Sweden. And I was thinking, if I'm going to live here and be here, I would love to create something and do something that's really for Sweden, like for the Swedes, and integrate more into community here and into society here. And I was thinking, like, maybe I should start a version of the podcast and do it in Swedish. Like, that would be really fun. I'm still playing around with that idea. How fun would that be? And have it be really like a Swedish podcast, maybe with some Swedish guests. And I think that would be a lot of fun. And then I started thinking, you know, I actually really would enjoy TV. And it was just a thought that entered my head. Not that I would do some crazy TV show or anything like that, but I was just brainstorming, right? What would the podcast be like if I had a version of the podcast, but it was TV, right? So it was kind of like I could see myself as a cozy, comfy, like really warm, loving kind of talk show host, but having everything be really genuine and really like a from the heart conversation, but it's not just on a pod, it's like on TV. I don't know. This thing just came into my head for whatever reason. I don't know why. And I told Dennis, and I thought, you know, maybe this is something I should just think about. To me, it seems like something that would be really fun. And I don't know, it's just hit my head. And it's just like an idea that I have. And I didn't talk to anybody about it, aside from Dennis. I didn't send any emails out. I didn't send, you know, network. I didn't do anything. And then that same week, I get an email from this producer writing, you know, I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but it would be so much fun to do TV. You know, you and Dennis and Leia, like in Sweden, have you ever thought about this? I have an idea for a show. And then she pitched this idea for the show. And I was like, this is so funny that you're saying this, because I was just talking about this with Dennis and thinking about this, that maybe as we move to Sweden, we should do something that's like TV related. Like, it would be fun to create content, but not have me be in charge of doing that. So it just felt like a big sign in a way. So we went down that road, and we're still on that road, and I'll give you an update when I'm there, right? But we're still on that road. But that's not the big thing, right? So then all of a sudden, we go down this path of like potentially doing something for TV in Sweden, and Dennis loves the idea. He thinks it's him in front of the camera. It's hilarious. It's the man, like, he's always behind the camera, but he's born to be on camera. Like, his sense of humor and sarcasm is just... yeah, he would be the star of whatever thing we would do. Like, that's just what it is. But so as this happened, and I start putting my energy there to contemplate, like, what would we like to do and how would we like to do it and what would be a really authentic, heartfelt way to share something, right? I don't want to just do TV for the sake of being on TV. Like, I have no interest in that. I would love to share something truly authentic, something that could be helpful and fun and joyful, right? And then as I'm contemplating this, all of a sudden I get an email from a person casting a show. That is pretty much all I can say at this moment. And this was a couple of weeks back, and it's been maybe a month and a half back. And it's been a really, really intense process of kind of moving down these or up these steps, I guess. But basically, I'm now at the very end, like last final piece, last final step, last moment of this huge casting for a really big TV show in the States. And it's basically, I can't say anything about it, but it's basically, if you would close your eyes and you would think of a role for me, except it's on TV in the States, this is it. Like, it's like, I told my friend about, like, she's like, well, what is this thing? Like, why are you going to LA? And I explain what it is. And she's like, oh my God, wait, did they create this with you in mind? Did they like, did someone know you or they listened to your podcast? And then they created this show. And I was like, no, not at all. It's just insane. It's so perfect. And I don't know if I'm going to get it. Like, there's lots of people in the running to do this. There's lots of people in this, like, being cast for this and kind of in the process. Like, I'm just in the final selection process now, I guess. But there is a chance that maybe I will get it, and then maybe I'll be creating this very crazy, fun, huge thing that just sort of came my way the moment I mentioned the word TV to my husband, right? So it also feels very synchronistic and crazy. And it's happening this week, which is the week of the dreams, right? For the course, it's all very like perfect, right? However, I don't want to say but, I mean, it means I'm going to LA tomorrow. I'm recording this on a Tuesday. Tomorrow's Wednesday. I go to LA and I spend Thursday and Saturday in LA. No, I spend Thursday and Friday in LA and I go back on Saturday. So it's one of these insane, cross the whole fucking world, wild, mad woman trips that I have vowed, I'm sure I've said this on the podcast, I have vowed to never make a trip like this again. I used to do these trips all the time, like in the middle of something huge that I was doing, all of a sudden I would go to LA and teach a class, or I would go over there and do a festival, or I would go over there and do something and take a meeting or whatever. I am certain that I have made a sweeping declaration on this podcast. Like, you've heard me say, I'm never going to do that kind of stuff again, because that was literally what led me to my burnout, is I had all of those things all the time. And it was always fun opportunities that I always felt like I just need to be grateful that this opportunity is here. Like, I have to say yes to this because it would be ungrateful to not do it. Or there's going to be a time in my future where no one cares about me in any way at all, and I don't get these invitations anymore. And it would be dumb to not say yes. You know, I would just say yes, 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 of course, fun, fun, fun. And then the time would come and I would hate my life, right? And then the time would come and I would be so overwhelmed. Or I would have to say goodbye to Leia and she was just a baby, and I would be sitting at the airport bathrooms, because they don't even have that, you know, it's so rare in the States to find a like a breastfeeding pod or like a safe, nice place to breastfeed or pump. So I'd be like standing. I did this, not even in a bathroom stall, but I had one of those like pumps that you needed to plug in. And I found a janitor closet that was connected to like the sink area of a public bathroom in some airport. I don't even remember where. And I was just like plugging that thing in, standing there in front of the mirror next to people washing their fucking hands, pumping, like crying. I mean, obviously crying the whole entire time, just like hating it. And it's so, it's so funny. And even, you know, and I don't want to be this arrogant person, like, oh, poor me, because I know this is such a privilege, right? It's such a privilege. It's like such a high class, ridiculous problem to have, right? But it also has been a problem, right? And I burnt out doing all of these things. And then now this opportunity came in the middle of what I thought would be my homesteading, quiet gardening, sit in meditation all day month, right? And I had to really sit with. And I mean, I had to really be with this and contemplate this and meditate on this and go, okay, well, is this what I really want? And I've had moments where I felt, hell yes, this is the biggest opportunity ever, maybe of my whole life. Like, this is sounds so perfect and so much fun, and it's so synchronistic how it happened like that. There's been just the whole flow of it has been very synchronistic, and that gives me a lot of comfort. It feels like the universe is on my side. But then again, at the same time, I am now sitting here feeling really overwhelmed again and stressed and, you know, having to get things in order and pack and get a COVID test. And for this thing, I need 4 very serious outfits that I definitely do not have, you know, which is, again, like a really silly problem to have. But it was just thing after thing after a couple of really intense weeks worrying about a lot of stuff. And then today I just had this, I don't know, I was like throwing myself downtown because I have no shoes for anything. Okay, I have wooden shoes that I walk around with here. And then I have like winter boots. And then I have running shoes to run with on ice. That's what I got. And it's really a thing. Like, I can't show up for this big casting thing like barefoot. I just cannot. I have to figure this out. But I had no time to do anything. And I just threw myself downtown, which is a bit of a drive. And there's nothing. And I'm like walking through these shoe stores. Like, what is a shoe? Seriously, what even is a shoe? Is this a shoe? Everything has really thick. All the soles of everything is just very, they're all very thick right now. Why is that? I really don't understand. I don't understand. Why is everything so elevated? Like, I just wanted to find like a cool heel. Like, I would love like a boot, but not a winter boot, just like a chunky heel of some sort. There's nothing. There's nothing. There's these really weird sneakers. They all look super weird, like they're from space. And then there's these flat, like weird things that look like socks. I don't know. They're shoes, but they look like socks. Like, what the fuck is that? And then there's a bunch of like stiletto strappy sandals because it's spring and they think summer is coming. Like, I can't wear that shit. I got nothing. Okay. I got nothing. I was sweating, running from store to store, trying to find something that felt like a shoe, and nothing was a shoe. So I got no shoes. Like, I was full on sweating, stressing myself out over a pair of stupid shoes, you know. And then finally, I'm like, okay, this is like, I'm not going to find anything. I went into Zara. How do you pronounce it in English? Zara? Zara? Which I mean, I'm not a shopper. I don't like ever go to stores and shop stuff. You know, if I ever shop or I need something, I do that online. And it's mostly because I need a new pair of black yoga pants because that's all I wear. And then I went into Zara and I'm like, okay, they have shoes. It's annoying in that store because they don't have shoes in one place. They just litter the shoes all across the floor of the store. It's super annoying. So you have to go through the whole store to look at every shoe. And I'm like, people go here and shop. Like, a lot of friends of mine shop at this place. It means it has to be okay, right? They have a lot of stores. The kids go there, right? And I found a pair of shoes. And I think what I bought is like a narrow toe version of like a cowboy boot, maybe? I don't know. Like, I'm thinking about it now and I'm like, I don't know. Was that a shoe? Probably isn't a shoe. Okay. It's probably not a shoe. But anyway, I leave tomorrow and I'm back Sunday morning. So it's like I'm there for 2 days. It's like one of those crazy things. And Dennis is so jealous, right? I'm so overwhelmed. I'm like, I can't believe I'm doing this. This is insane. I regret it. I changed my mind. And he's like, oh my God, you get to sit on a plane and just like do nothing. And I'm like, yeah, that's my nightmare. Like, I hate going on planes. He loves flying on airplanes. You get to go to LA and wear like grown-up clothes. Like, you get to feel pretty and go do like adult stuff and go to a city where we have a bunch of really good friends that you haven't seen for years because of the pandemic. And you get to hang out with them and go to dinner. And like, this is like, and then he said, Rachel, you get to go to Target. And I'm like, I have no interest in going to Target. I just want to stay home and grow my vegetables. Why have I carved out this idea of a life where I'm just home growing vegetables? Why am I on my way to Hollywood tomorrow? I don't know. Okay. I don't know. And this thing right now, it's either going to be one of those things that in a couple of weeks or months, I talk about this moment and I laugh at myself and I go, oh my God, you guys remember when I took that super, super stupid trip all the way to LA? Because I thought that's the kind of thing I wanted to do. But actually, that was so dumb, right? It's either going to be that or it's going to be me getting to tell you what I'm doing. And it's like the biggest, most exciting thing that I'm so happy about and grateful for. And I don't know. It's literally, it's there's no gray area. It's either the best thing or the stupidest thing ever. But so yeah, that's what's happening right now. Mothers deserve the absolute best. So this Mother's Day, spoil the moms in your life with little luxuries from Osea. Osea's skin and body care is the perfect way to remind all the moms, mother figures, caregivers, grandmothers, and mother-in-laws in your life to make time for themselves. If you have been looking for the perfect gift, I recommend Osea's Andaria Algae Body Oil. I've been using it for years, and it seems like every single time I apply it, I get compliments on my skin. This body oil is rich, but it's never greasy, and it's clinically proven to instantly improve skin elasticity. Your skin will feel more sculpted and toned, and you'll be left feeling silky, soft, and glowing. Another favorite of mine is the Andaria Collagen Body Lotion. Ever since I've been using collagen, I have noticed a difference in my skin. In fact, it's never been better. Using Osea's body oil and lotion together is a mega moisture duo, giving you a full body glow. Osea's products are infused with their signature Andaria seaweed, but it's also clean, vegan, cruelty-free, and climate-neutral certified. Really just a perfect gift for yourself, the moms in your life, and even the planet. Spoil the moms in your life with clean, vegan skin and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with the code YOGA at oseamalibu.com. You'll get free samples with every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Head to oseamalibu.com and use the code YOGA for 10% off.
I need to sit down at my tea table right now because I didn't get a chance to do that today yet. Oh. I'm looking at it right now. It's just beckoning me. I'm holding these twigs of taped together lavender, which I am for sure putting in a little book or maybe in my toiletries bag, bringing to LA. I need to take a walk with the dogs, go hug a tree. I need to ground. I need to ground and kind of connect my soul and mind and heart back into my body. And then I'm going to go pack and then I'm going to get on a plane. So wish me luck. Okay. The day you're listening to this is the big day when I'm busy all day. So wish me luck. Think of me and you can laugh at me or with me from afar if you want. And we'll see where this week takes us. If there's one thing I feel really grateful for two things right now. I feel grateful for this. I know it's a very unique a thing I have going on, which is this ability to create things. And just like I said, how I started this podcast is like, I don't create from peace. I never have. And this thing, like I'm creating something new now potentially, and it's definitely not fucking peaceful, right? It's super intense and overwhelming, but that's the only way I know how, right? And it also means, I think, because it's that intense and overwhelming and like in the moment and now, I think that's how I have this ability to like think the word TV and then all of a sudden like TV comes my way, you know, in a way, which is kind of similar to how I've created anything ever, you know, all the big endeavors I ever set out to do, I did without them making any sense and without a business plan and without funding and without a budget and just... It's kind of like I told Dennis, like, hey, let's open a yoga studio. And he was like, okay, how are we going to do that? And I go, I don't know. Let's just do it. And the let's just do it, of course, became super stressful and really intense and really overwhelming. But we created the most beautiful thing, right? And we made it happen. And I have a feeling this is kind of similar to that. So I'm grateful for this ability to create. I did have a lot of time, especially last year, and back like the year of my burnout where I felt like I'm never going to create ever again, right? So I'm grateful for that. I'm not taking that for granted. I feel like I have to like knock on wood or something because I don't want to take that for granted because I love that ability. And then I'm really grateful to have these tools to bring me back. So when I'm in the eye of the storm, you know,
And I know I'm going to end this podcast and step back into the stormy part of the storm. I'm grateful I have nature right outside my doorstep. And I have my tea sitting here just waiting for me. And I have my breath and I have my body. I'm grateful. I am. I hope you are grateful too. And if you are in the storm or in the eye of the storm or entering a storm or exiting a storm or whatever kind of chaos you have or have had going on in your life, that you embrace it too, you know, knowing this is totally cyclical and there's going to be a moment later where you feel everything is stagnant and standing still and nothing's fun and you're just stuck, right? And the storm is the opposite of that. And we're all trying to find our way to that peaceful middle where we're creating from a place of passion and feeling driven and like we're on the right path, but we're not overwhelmed and stressed out, right? And I think, at least for me, the thing that helps me navigate that and bring me back to a place of center is hugging the tree, right? It's sitting with a tea. It's being with my body. It's coming back to the things that ground me after I spun off into space. So instead of pretending like I didn't spin off, I mean, I totally have. This week has been crazy. I allow it. I embrace it. I acknowledge it. And then I do the thing I need to do to bring myself back to earth. And then I get to dwell there, you know. Thank you so much for listening. Wishing you a balanced week and weekend ahead. I'll see you next week. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. If you enjoy the show, make sure you listen, rate, review, and follow all episodes of the Yoga Girl podcast, Conversations from the Heart. Available now for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Odyssey, and wherever you normally get your shows. Of course, thank you to my sponsors. Make sure you support them the way they support this podcast. This was a presentation of Cadence 13 Studio, and I'll see you next week.